on? And the God in a room that began to say God. Where did the Chassid of Menashe come from? And suddenly, they should be mentioned. This is a question which a number of the Mafarshim actually deal with. The Ramban says that actually only God and Reuven asked for Eber Yarden. But the land was big, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw that it was God on the ice, that it was very large, and he asked for volunteers, for someone else to come forward and join. And Hashi Shevet Menashe volunteered to join. This is what it says in the Ramban. Then Tziv and Tzor Hamar say something a little nicer about the Chassi Shevet Menashe. Not only did they ask, and Moshe Rabbeinu had asked for volunteers, but Moshe Rabbeinu had a deeper kavana. They got up, they moving with too into their property, too much into money. He wanted the Neitayr to be with them. And therefore, he deliberately requested these families of Shevet Menashe to join. According to this chat, Shevet Menashe joined to be a good influence on the others. So these are the two turuts in the Ramban, on the one hand, and the Tziv and Tzor Hamar on the other, that don't necessarily contradict each other. There's a problem with this, because we find in Nach that the first Shvatim to go to Golus were the Shvatim of Eber HaYarden, moving God and Chassi Shevet Menashe. If I all say on this, Nach would move Helas Barishayna, Gamas Lisolais of Arech, that a Nachla, that an inheritance which is taken originally to the Hala, is not blessed at the end. I understand that Reuven and God took this Nachla of Bahala. But why Chassi Shevet Menashe? They didn't take it to Bahala. Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to take it. And surely, according to the Tzid, they came to be Makarev. To be Makarev the others and Makarev the others. Why should Chassi Shevet Menashe be included in this? I don't know the answer, but it brings to mind something that Rav Tom used to say. When people were involved in Kiruv HaChaikim would come to him, he would sometimes advise them to do things which perhaps he wouldn't advise others. And even though it would be a sacrifice in Ruchnius for the one who was being Mekarev, he would tell them that when you're involved in being Mekarev, other Yidden, you have to be willing to be Mesa Nefesh, Nefesh meaning even the spiritual soul, even to give up Ruchnius. Later I saw that at Tzikas HaTzadik, Reish Aleph, the Tzadik writes this idea that a person for Avas Hashem or Avas Yisrael should be willing to even sacrifice levels of Ruchnius. Now perhaps this Chassi Shevet Menashe is the example for that, the example for that lesson. The second point that has to do with this part of the parasha, we learn from here the rules of Tanai God, the Tanai Bnei Reuven. Tanai Bnei God Bnei Reuven is a rule in Shas. And when one makes a condition, the condition has to be formulated in a very specific way. What the Gemara calls Hein Kaidim Lamav, Tanai Kaidim Lamaisa, and Tanai Kafu. There are rules for Tanai that we learn from here. The Rishonim have a hard time because this idea that Tanai has to be spoken out just so seems to contradict a basic idea in Shas. That when you have an umdina, when you have some sort of an indication or a raya that someone wants something, even if he didn't speak it out, it's as if he spoke it out. And therefore, the Rishonim already have a difficulty with trying to figure out when a condition has to be spoken out and when not. There's a beautiful Mishnah Chachma here on the parasha that I invite you to look at. I'd like to tell you what he is referring to. In the early 1600s, there was a tremendous tumult in Europe of what became known as the Get to Vienna. A 16-year-old who was married became ill. It was feared that his wife would fall to evil if he passed away, and that his brother was far away and could not be Miyabe. And therefore, they asked the 16-year-old to give a get to his new wife. He said, didn't want to. He wanted to stay married to her. And they said to him, you won't lose anything. If you become better, then she'll remarry you. So with that, he agreed to give the get. After he gave the get, this girl's family married her off to someone else. And there was an extraordinary dispute between Gedolim of the time. The Maran Lublin, who the Meshech Chachma quote, said that the get is not a get. The get was given with the understanding that if he becomes better, she'll remarry him. And since she did not keep that understanding, even though the Tanai was spoken out, still, it's an umdana, it's an understanding, and therefore, the get is bottled because the understanding was not kept. The Meshech Chachma sends us to the Machne Ephraim, Hilchos Gerushin, towards the end of Hilchos Gerushin, where he makes this explanation of the Maram Shita, that anything that's a clear umdana, a clear understanding, does not need the Tanai Kafel, does not need the rules of the condition being made. If you take out a Gemara, Masechtas Gittin, and you turn to the Marsha, all the way in the back of the Masechta, after the Masechta is complete, the Marsha adds, Ashraf Shazachisi Lumay Masechtas Gittin, now that I completed Masechtas Gittin, he makes a statement, his statement, it's his sheet that he argued with the Maram, and he said that the get Mivienna was a good get, it was a binding get. Since no Tanai had been spoken out, it's not a Tanai. The people did not keep their word. There's a favor on someone who doesn't keep his word and under such conditions. But the get is a get because no Tanai was spoken out. Obviously, the deeper idea of the get to the end is not for today's discussion, not for a 5-minute cheer. I wanted to introduce you to the idea. You can learn the Meshech Chachma. And God willing, Yemir Tashem, I hope this year when we finish at the month of Shabbos, not this year, we finish Yirmiyah and God willing start Yeshua, the first parak. We have again B'nai God of B'nai Reuven, and I hope there to give you the whole story of the Get Midian. One last point, a side point. In my home, I sometimes have a guest who's particular about the English language. Sometimes I tell him, let's share this cookie. I cut it in half. I say, you get the bigger half. He laughs at me and says, there's no bigger half. A half is a half. I have a raya from this parasha. Not like him. Chatzi Shevet Menashe means half of Shevet Menashe. When you learn Nach, you'll see, and the Rabban brings it here, on the pasuk, that it was not a half. It was a quarter of Shevet Menashe. Menashe had eight. But they are, was divided into eight families, six of which inherited Israel to an Abraham. I seem to have a raya from here that there could be a bigger half and a smaller half, at least as the word chatzi is used in Lashon Kodesh. Let's move quickly to the end of Parshas Maaseh, the last incident there, and a thought regarding that. The last incident in Parshas Maaseh is the story of the B'nai Pelachot. Of course, they get a chelek in Israel. And their Shevet, which happens to be Shevet Menashe, does not want the Shevet they get to be taken to another Shevet. And therefore the Pasuk says, L'toyv ve'nechem yulin ashim, marry whoever you like. However, the preference is that they marry Shevet Menashe. And the argument of Shevet Menashe is they should be required to marry Shevet Menashe. The kasha on that is that a person's shidduch is decreed as Basharet before Yetzirah Savlat. If so, the person they were going to marry is already something known. Why here is the idea of this pasuk, L'toyv ve'nechem yulin ashim, they're allowed to marry whoever they want. And in Tataiva, they're told, as in Tataiva, to marry people from their own shade. The person doesn't really have a choice about it. The Meshech Chachma says incredibly about this. The Meshech Chachma says that the Arbon Yom Kait Mitzvah Savlan, which is called out, which is announced in heaven for every, was not announced for the B'nai Pelachot. In other words, he said just as the Parsha of Nachla was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai because the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted for it to wait till B'nai Pelachot to be given, so too, the decree of who they would marry was not announced 40 days before Yetzirah Sabbat. And therefore, they had the ability to marry whoever they wanted. Interesting. I had a problem with this. It was like fourth God, what was it? When the men of that generation were born, 40 days before Yetzirah Sabbat, every man had his zivug announced in heaven. Apparently, there were five men whose zivug was not announced because they were going to marry the Benai Salafchad. What does Meshech Chachma mean that they can marry whoever they want? Actually, a pool of potential husbands was limited to the five whose zivug was not called out because they were going to marry Benai Salafchad. Seems to be a bit of a difficulty with the Meshech Chachma, although the Meshech Chachma does go on to give the second teretz, but at least this teretz seems to be a problem. Let me leave you with one last kasha on this week's parasha. In Maaseh, we have the Orei Miklat, the cities to which people who killed the Shogeg would go to be saved. There were actually 48 Orei Miklat, all the Orei Halavim, but six were special Orei Miklat. And that is mentioned in the Pasuk. Three in Eberei Yarden, three in Eretz Yisrael. These were special in what way? The Gemara in Makkos Daf Yud says that in these six cities, even if someone just happened to go there, Shalegi Kavana, he would also be saved from the Gaila now. In the other 42 cities, the person would have to go be Kavana. Very small difference, but a difference nonetheless. The Kasha is on the Gemara. It says that there were three Orei Miklat in Eber HaYarden and three in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says why. Most of the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael. Why should half the six Orei Miklat be in Eber HaYarden? Gemara answers, Bikilat Shchichi Reitzchen. There were more murderers. Were more murderers the Shaygeg in Eber HaYarden, proportionately. And therefore they needed the same amount. Sounds like a great terrorist. More murderers in Eber HaYarden. So the 20th Shvatim got three cities, and the other Shvatim also got three cities. The kasha is that the three cities and three cities are just marginally important. There were 48 cities that were Orei Miklat. Of those 48 cities, the proportion was exact. There were 10 on Eber HaYarden and 38 in Eretz Yisrael. The exact proportion to the size of the Shvatim. These cities are listed in Sefer Yeshua. And therefore, why does it help that the Gilad Shishi writes him so that three of the six main cities, these main cities, really are very little, like, different in a very small way from the other 42. Only if someone goes to like the Kavana. This is really an extraordinary difficulty with Sugi and the Gemara. And since those of you who are Daf Yomi just finished Makkos, I suppose some of you will still want to look it up. And please come up with a teretz, this one I don't have a teretz for. Be well, wishing everyone a good Shabbos. Hope your holiday season continues. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Have chizuk in the Bein HaMetzorim, in the Tariq of Bein HaMetzorim. And Yitz Hashem, look forward to speaking to you again next week as we start Sefer Devarim. A good Shabbos.